This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So today's episode of Eye for Fortune is going to be all about procrastination. I know it's a very common topic, and there are like 100 different people talking about 100 different ways on how to overcome procrastination out there. And I'm sure there are some ways that work for some people. Still, I figured with so much content about procrastination must also create a lot of noise, right? And since I have a show that's about 5 things, I decided to take a couple of weeks to do some research about the subject and pick my 5 favorite simplest ways to sort of tackle procrastination so that you can get whatever it is you need to get done without wasting too much time. And the funny thing is, whenever I wanted to read up or do some research about procrastination, I would procrastinate. Like, it would either be 5 Key and Peele videos in a row, or YouTube videos between each article, or just watching like a bunch of OJ Law music videos, just doing anything except the work that I was supposed to be doing. So, you know, in a way, all the stuff listed here sort of helped me as well. So I'm hoping that it has the same effect on you. I know I've already explained what this episode is about, but obligatory intro. This is Eye for Fortune with Arvind Yuvaraj, and today's episode is called 5 Effective Ways to Tackle Procrastination. So, before we get into the main chunks of this episode, the one big thing that I found out when researching procrastination, and I'm not sure if you know this or not, but I found out that procrastination is often confused with laziness, but they are actually 2 very different things. I mean, I always thought that they were sort of interlinked, but procrastination is actually an active process, as in you choose to do something else instead of the task that you're supposed to be doing. Laziness, on the other hand, is a form of apathy and inactivity and an unwillingness to act. It's pretty much the opposite thing. It's the lack of action altogether. Makes sense, right? So, procrastination usually involves ignoring an unpleasant but probably more important task in favor of something that's more enjoyable or easier to do. And with social media and our constant state of staying connected, it's so much easier for us to procrastinate these days. The problem is, giving in to these impulses here and there is pretty harmless. I mean, worst case scenario, you'll miss a deadline or meet a deadline and produce sloppy work, but it won't have a lasting effect on your thought patterns. But chronic procrastination can lead to reduced productivity and cause us to miss out on achieving our goals altogether. If we procrastinate over a long period of time, we can become demotivated and disillusioned with our work, which can lead to depression and even job loss in extreme cases. So, yeah, you know, procrastination can get pretty dark at times if it's left unchecked, but that's when things get really, really bad. In most cases, procrastination is an annoyance that causes us to waste a lot of time, which we can tackle with a bit of effort and a bit of discipline. On that note, let's move on to number 1 on today's list, which says that the first step to overcoming procrastination is to forgive yourself.
Number 1.
Yeah, so I know this sounds like something I pulled out of one of those new age Zen books about inner peace and balance and all that stuff, but it actually has nothing to do with any of those things. This advice actually comes from Elizabeth Lombardo. She is the author of Better Perfect via psychologytoday.com, and she says that the one thing that most procrastinators do is beat themselves up for not starting earlier, mentally, not physically. And this habit is pretty counterproductive and can be as bad as procrastination itself. Now, I'm going to admit something, I do this a lot, which is why I picked it as number 1, because when I saw it, I could relate to it so much. I have this problem where when I finally start doing the thing that I was supposed to do, I start to regret not doing it earlier. Like sometimes when I manage to complete a task, instead of feeling relief and good about it, I actually feel pretty bad for not doing it earlier and benefiting from that, or, you know, like making use of that time that I wasted. And that, you know, that cycle of regret and frustration takes up a lot of mental space. I figured out much later that I was actually wasting more time focusing on the time that I wasted in this weird vicious circle, and I just stopped doing it altogether. It took some time, but I managed to stop doing it. So when I saw this article on psychology.com, I could actually relate to it in a big way, and I thought that it made a lot of sense. Elizabeth Lombardo also says that you can try to use past procrastination to your advantage as well by determining what went into your avoidance. Like, was it fear? Was it stress? Why did you not start doing the task earlier? And what made you procrastinate? Was it not having a good understanding of how to progress? You know, lack of accountability? And once you figured it out, try to address those obstacles in the present and the future and not dwell on the past so much. Most times, the reason we procrastinate isn't something serious or deep-rooted or some weird psychological issue. It's just the fact that we're so connected to so many different things and distractions that are so much easier to do. And sometimes, also, it's an issue with behavior, or it could be even a mental block. Speaking of which, number two on today's list is probably one of the biggest reasons people procrastinate, and it's because a lot of people are perfectionists. And what does Elizabeth Lombardo have to say on perfectionism? She says drop it, because it's only holding you back.
Number two.
Perfectionism is an all-or-nothing mentality. Something is either perfect or it's a failure. People who are perfectionists will normally wait until things are perfectly in order before they start working on something or before they feel the task is complete. So if it isn't perfect, then you cannot possibly be finished with it. The problem with perfectionism is that it normally turns into a series of excuses that holds you back from getting started in the first place. Because think about it, it's going to take a long, long time for everything to line up properly before you get started, and then it's going to take an extra long time until you're satisfied with the results, if you're a perfectionist, I mean. Now, maybe you're thinking, what's wrong in being perfect, right? Isn't that good, especially at work? Like, isn't it good to make sure your work has quality and just stinks of perfection? Well, yes and no. Your work needs to have quality, sure, which it can have in abundance if you had enough time to work on it, which you wouldn't have if you spent half the time that you had waiting for everything to be perfect before you even got started. See what I mean? In a lot of ways, perfectionism is pretty counterproductive. It's a weird concept, I know, because it's supposed to make everything perfect, but it doesn't. But coming back to the article on Psychology Today, Elizabeth Lombardo says that you have to strive for something that's better than perfection, and that's excellence. Put as much time and effort and energy into a project and focus on doing your best instead of worrying about the end result. Because logically, think about it, when you strive for excellence, everything you do during the task will show and the quality of your work will speak for itself. It's actually a pretty solid way to tackle perfectionism and procrastination altogether. Anyway, stick around. More ways to tackle procrastination coming up right after some music and some messages. The irony, right? Five for Fortune will be back in a bit. BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we are back on Five for Fortune. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and we are talking about ways that we can possibly tackle a serious problem that a lot of us have, and that is procrastination. Now, one of the biggest reasons people procrastinate is because they see a task or they see a project that they need to be working on as too big or too overwhelming. And according to author Geoffrey James via Inc.com, there are a few good ways to tackle that counterproductive perspective.
Number three.
One of the biggest reasons people procrastinate is because a task looks way too big and they're not even sure where to start. It's just easier to binge on a show on Netflix or watch YouTube videos for hours instead of trying to figure out how to get this massive, monumental thing out of the way. That's why Geoffrey James via Inc.com says that we should break the task into small steps and then start working on them one at a time. This builds momentum and makes the task less daunting. For example, let's say you've decided to write a book. So instead of sitting down and trying to write the book, which for all you know could be 300 pages long, depending on how long-winded you are, and will probably cause you to stare at a blank screen for hours and hours, try to spend one interrupted hour on each of these smaller subtasks. So, for example, one, write down as many ideas as possible, then sort the ideas into an outline. Number three, list out anecdotes that you'll want to include in the book. Write the sample anecdote to determine style. Number 5, review existing materials like presentations that you might have. Assign those materials to sections of your outline. Number 7, write the first few paragraphs of a sample chapter. And finally, number 8, create a schedule to write at least 2 pages a day. See, when you break the goal of writing a book into these smaller subtasks or smaller tasks, it doesn't look as scary anymore. It doesn't look like you have to complete a book. It's just a series of small pieces that, when you have completed, will finally form a book by default. So all of the 8 tasks that I just listed are very easy to do. They are like simple things and simple actions that you can complete right now. Now think about using this same method on just about anything. Let's say there's a presentation that you need to come up with at work, right? Instead of focusing on this big slideshow of, you know, like of multiple different pages that's full of details and important data, maybe break it up into smaller chunks and chapters and, you know, just very small slides. Focus on each small topic and slowly but surely it'll amount to the presentation that you want. It's about momentum and getting to the goal instead of magically finishing the goal itself. Right, moving on to
number 4.
You can't talk about procrastination without talking about distractions. I mean, the distractions are what fuel procrastination, right? Well, there's this very interesting take by Linda Sharkey from the Marshall Goldsmith Group about how you can turn those distractions around and use them as the goal itself, while kind of using the actual task as a form of procrastination. Okay, so in a normal procrastination scenario, you'll have something important that you need to do, and then you'll have all these other distractions that keep you from doing that one thing. Normally, it's something simple, like a show on Netflix or YouTube videos, like I mentioned before, or, you know, something like that. But in large quantities, that they can keep you distracted for ages before you realize that you've wasted more time than you anticipated. So Linda Sharkey says that one way to really address these distractions is by making a list of all the things that will distract you from your project. Then, put a date on those items and list a day or a time that you will do them after your project is complete. And then reward yourself once your project is done. So she also says that it helps to have someone who can call you up and hold you accountable on those goals, like someone who can, you know, basically nag you about finishing your project. Or maybe you've promised someone that you will watch these videos or watch this show with them so they can call you and keep hounding you if you've finished your task so that you can get to binging on your favorite shows. So they can call you and remind you to finish this important thing that needs your focus and attention. But, you know, coming back to the distractions part, I think it's a really interesting idea to turn those things into the end result itself. And I mean, you know, if you think that finishing the project will take you way too long, like a few weeks or maybe a couple of months, then you can use those distractions as rewards at the end of each small action. So when you break up your task into small actions, like I said in the third segment of the show, breaking up huge tasks into smaller chunks helps a lot. So maybe keep all these videos and distractions at the end of those chunks, or maybe at the end of each day. Every time you get to finish one chunk, reward yourself with a couple of videos or an episode of something, or, you know, whatever your distraction may be at the time. That way, you're using the distractions as the substitute goal and using the project as a way to get there. Hey, if you miss any part of the show and you would like to listen to it again, you can do so by downloading the BFM app, which is available for free on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. Now, moving on to our final segment on today's show. This one sounds pretty obvious, but it's one of those things that people get confused with all the time, myself included. It's about goals not being actions, and it's number 5 on today's list.
Number 5.
Patrick Jinks, author of The Jinx Perspective, makes it very clear that goals are not actions. Now, what exactly does this mean? Well, you know how we have to-do lists? Like, we have a list of everything we need to do on that day? Now, take a look at your list and try to determine how many of those things you've written down are goals and how many are actions. Chances are that there are more goals there than actions that you need to execute. For example, most of us would put down something like finish project X, or for me it would be finish 5 for Fortune. Those are goals. Those are the end results of a few actions. So instead of putting down the goal, write down the steps that you need to take to reach that goal. And once you've completed all of them, all of these actions leading up to the goal, then you will automatically have your goal by default. So in the case of Project X, let's say, write down step one, research. Step two, get slides from this and that department. Step three, compile, you know, so on and so forth. When you break down your to-do list into actions, it becomes more specific and gives you a clear indication of what you need to do to get to the ultimate goal. It also, and this is very important, it also lets you check things off the list as you go along, giving you a sense of accomplishment while also creating momentum in the process. Right, that's all the time that we have for this episode, but stick around because coming up at 12 is Enterprise Biz Bytes, and it's a Friday, so we have a lot of fun tech and business stories to keep you up to date. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on 5 for Fortune, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.